Thanks again for joining us for Grace and Truth.
Ben Carson, and I'm a candidate for president of the United States.
Good morning. I'm Carly Fiorina. I just announced that I'm running for president.
In my heart, I am an independent. I have been an independent for 30 years, but I am seeking the Democratic Party nomination for president of the United States.
So it seems perfectly fitting that it would be here that I announce that I am a candidate for president of the United States of America.
Four more voices, four more people in the running for the presidency for our elections next year. Hey, thank you for joining us. This is Grace and Truth. I'm Paul Perreault. Dr. Craig von Busick joining me. This is his show, actually, as we talk about not only the news, but praying the news. And Craig, I'm glad you're with us again this week. It's been another busy one with, here we go, four more voices, four more people jumping into the ring.
Yeah, it's going to be a crowded field, definitely on the Republican side. And it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Today we want to look at some of these leaders and where they stand on the issues. So I want to start with someone who was a candidate before and has jumped back into the ring, and that's Mike Huckabee. Most people know him from his Fox News television show, which he has stepped down from to run. But here are just some of the issues that he has made position statements on to help us. So on the budget, Huckabee advocates balancing the federal budget and frequently points to his record of balancing budgets as governor of Arkansas. On Medicare and Social Security, in April, he indicated he would consider raising the retirement age for young people just entering the workforce to keep the benefits and eligibility intact for those who are closer to retirement. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
Okay.
On climate change, Huckabee wrote in 2013 that climate change predictions have proved inaccurate, but he has not definitively stated his position on whether humans have a role in climate change or whether it is just a natural phenomenon. He basically is saying there is such a thing, but we're not still quite sure, you know, what the cause is. And definitely he does not want to get government involved at this point until we answer that question. On the education, he says states and not the federal government should set similar standards for education. He thought Common Core was a good idea, but it has had its problems. So he's known for his support for the homeschooling community, and he believes curriculum standards should be set at the state or local level. On the Second Amendment, he is a gun owner, and he believes in gun ownership. He told a radio show in 2006 that he supports the, quote, Castle Doctrine, which states that people have the right to stand their ground and use deadly force when under threat. He wants to, on health care, he wants to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and instead focus on families and individuals with extraordinarily high medical expenses and set up government mechanisms to help pay for some of their costs. On immigration, he is opposed to any comprehensive immigration plan that gives most undocumented immigrants a path to citizenship, but he does, he's okay with giving citizenship to children who were brought here illegally. They are often called the Dreamers. The children had no responsibility in coming here, and so he doesn't see that there should be any penalty against them. Social issues, he believes in banning abortion, except where the life of the mother is at risk. He's against same-sex marriage. He is also opposed to allowing same-sex couples to adopt children. On taxes, he's got an interesting idea, Paul. He believes in a national fair tax. The idea would eliminate the corporate capital gains and income taxes and another of other smaller taxes and replace them with a single sales tax across the board. He would eliminate the IRS and argue for a simple system that would make it unnecessary. So a lot of interesting ideas that the former governor of Arkansas has, and again, this is going to be an interesting year with all of these different people involved. What are your thoughts on some of these things that he's proposing, Paul?
Well, a lot of them I actually kind of like, and when it comes to the whole tax thing, I mean, the IRS to me is just a bit too intrusive, and a simple sales tax, as much as I don't like paying the extra taxes there, then I'm actually seeing the taxes I'm paying, and I would probably have a little more voice or be a little more active in saying yes on various things, being a little more proactive, I should say, as a citizen, because I'm seeing how it's affecting my bottom line in a very, very upfront way every time I go to the store. So I like that.
Exactly.
I'm a supporter of homeschool like he is. A lot of his ideas I really do appreciate.
The question with Huckabee is, can he be elected? And yet, the interesting thing here, I believe this is one of those places where some anti-Christian and anti-religious bias come out. Because why can a governor, a former governor like Mike Huckabee, have such low ratings in the polls and have such bias against him when other governors, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and others, don't have that problem? And I think one of the reasons is that Mike Huckabee is also a former pastor. And so there is this kind of anti-religious, anti-Christian bias that's put on some of these candidates just because they stand for biblical principles. Another person who is receiving some of that kind of anti-Christian backlash is Ben Carson. Now, he is best known as a brain surgeon, worked at Johns Hopkins University Hospital for years there in Baltimore. But going back to the question of taxes, here's an interesting thing that kind of connects the biblical side with the policy side. He believes on taxes. He says, this is a quote, "Many alternative forms of taxation are used throughout the world, but the model that appeals most to me is based on biblical tithing." Wouldn't that be interesting? Under that system, everyone was required to pay one-tenth of their income to the designated authorities of the theocracy. You were not excused if you experienced a crop failure, nor were you asked to pay triple tithes if you had a bumper crop. It was based on one-tenth of whatever you made. So a very interesting idea with regard to taxes. Here's a quote from Carson on unions. "In the early days, unions brought about the kind of collective bargaining that resulted in fair wages and reasonable working conditions. With time, many of the union bosses began to concern themselves with power and influence. By threatening strikes to further their causes, they were able to exact excessive wages and benefits from companies such as General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and in the long run, crippling these companies and rendering them non-competitive." See, the one thing that I like, or the thing that I like as I listen to Ben Carson, is he does not consider himself a politician. And so because of that, he feels like he can just say what he believes without concerning himself with how it will affect the electorate. Now, whether or not that will turn into votes is yet to be seen, but it is actually rather refreshing when you hear him speak on these various issues, because he does come across as a very balanced person in his viewpoints in all the things that I've heard. So it'll be interesting to watch Carson in the debates and so forth and see where that will move the Republican Party with regard to the future. And what has happened since the 1960s is what's called the Nixon Doctrine. You may be familiar with this, Paul, where Nixon said, and every candidate since Nixon has done this, campaign to the right during the primaries and then move to the center during the general election. That has been an area that has made some conservatives very angry, because they're all excited about the primaries, but then when it comes into the general election, they're like, hey, wait a minute, where did my candidate go? So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in this election. Finally, I want to talk about the first woman to enter the race on the Republican side, and this is Carly Fiorina, the former CEO of HP. She's got some interesting views, a bit of a mixed bag. I think that she's a little bit more of a centrist. Some conservatives would call her a liberal in some areas. For example, she believes climate change is real, and she thinks it's man-made, but government has limited ability to address it. That's going to be an interesting position to take. I think that some of the other more centrist candidates agree with her, but there's going to be definitely, this will be an issue that will divide the Republicans in the primary. On education, she believes that national standards should be set, but that local districts should be given maximum control. She thought No Child Left Behind was a positive thing. On health care, she wants to repeal Obamacare and then increase health insurance competition. So it'll be interesting to see with regard to that issue. Republicans seem to be, in general, they're in agreement that the Affordable Care Act as a whole needs to be repealed, but there are still parts of it that they want to keep. For example, keeping people from being restricted from having insurance who had pre-existing conditions. Most of the Republicans seem to be in favor of keeping that part of Obamacare. The question becomes, how do we pay for it? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with regard to that. In regard to immigration, she agrees with Huckabee on the DREAM Act, which would give legal status to people who were brought to the U.S. as children illegally by their parents. More recently, she has criticized former Florida Governor Jeb Bush for offering undocumented immigrants, those who arrive as adults, a path to citizenship, and she calls it unfair to those who immigrate legally. And it also raises, for me, Paul, the question of, are we a country that is ruled by laws or are we not? I have compassion for these people who are seeking work, who are seeking a better life, but we have a system in place for people to come to the United States legally. My concern is these people who come illegally, and then we're all of a sudden going to say, well, we don't really mean that the laws are there to be upheld. We're able to change them as the situations warrant. That concerns me greatly.
That also brings up the whole issue of border protection as well, because we still have the porous border issue.
Absolutely. And when you live in a post-9/11 world with the possibilities of weapons of mass destruction, one has to be concerned about a border that is so porous that people can come through with some sort of chemical weapon, some sort of biological weapon, even a nuclear weapon, one of these suitcase bombs that are so deadly and dangerous. We have to realize that it's not only the rule of law, but it's also the protection of our nation. So you're absolutely right. Some of the other things that Fiorina stands for with regard to social issues, she wants to see a ban on most abortions after 20 weeks. She wants to see Roe v. Wade overturned, and she believes marriage is between a man and a woman, but that same-sex couples should be allowed civil unions. And then on the tax code, again, she wants to move to zero-based budgeting, not increase the gas tax, but simplify the tax code. So she doesn't go nearly as far as Huckabee or Ben Carson on this issue, but she does believe that it needs to be addressed. And then finally, with regard to Israel and Iran, she would like to Congress to intervene in the Iran nuclear negotiations and says the U.S. would support Israel if it broke off talks now. In general, she wants more inspections, verifications, and compliance from Iran before the United States lifts any sanctions. And she's very concerned, like we've talked about on this program, of Russia's role in the process. And they said Putin is on a quest to regain Russian dominance in the world. So this is a major concern for her and for all of us. Three more people who have entered the race, a lot of different viewpoints, and it's going to be interesting to watch as it unfolds.
One of the other voices we heard there was that of Bernie Sanders, who is an independent from Vermont, if I remember right. And he, although he himself tends to be more of a Democratic socialist, he's jumping in the race as a Democrat. Did you have any thoughts about him?
I think that he's going to be one of these Ralph Nader types that is going to siphon off some liberal votes from Hillary Clinton and whoever else might get in the race on the Democratic side. I don't think he's a contender. I think his ideas are pretty much so far out of the mainstream that his impact will be limited, but it'll be, you know, kind of a Ross Perot, Ralph Nader, Anderson type of candidacy that actually in the long run, if he stays in the race all the way to the end, could tip the balance. As we've seen over these last three or four elections, it's been 52-48, 51-49, and with Gore and Bush, it was 50-50. So somebody like this actually could tip the election one way or the other, and so they cannot be ignored.
This is Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig Von Busick. When we come back, well, we've been worried about attacks here in the U.S. Something happened this past week. We'll talk about shortly. Thanks for tuning in. This past Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. And both Craig and I hope that whether you joined a large group of believers at a church or other gathering, or as a family, or even by yourself, you spend some time in prayer for our nation's leaders. But we urge you, don't let it be a one-day-a-year focus for you. Let it be a daily focus. That's why Craig wrote Praying the News, so that through the news, as you follow it, you're propelled to pray for God's will to be done and be active in what God is doing. To find out more about his book, Grace and Truth, check out our show page at myfaithradio.com. Under programs, look for Grace and Truth.
This is still under investigation by the FBI and other members of the intelligence community to determine any ties or affiliations that these two individuals may have had with ISIL or other terrorist organizations.
That's White House spokesperson Josh Earnest talking about the attacks earlier this week down in Garland, Texas. Actually, this past weekend at a, how would you describe it, Craig? It was a cartoonist convention. It was a political convention where they were doing cartoon drawings of the Prophet Muhammad. And it was well publicized. Pamela Geller, a very vocal person when it comes to Islam, especially ISIS, doing this and needless to say, got some attention of some people who did not like her and were trying to attack. Fortunately, they were stopped, but still an attack here in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a purposeful confrontation with ISIS to say we stand with our friends around the world who believe in free speech and freedom of expression and freedom of political views. Now, it's interesting to see that a lot of the liberal media have blamed the convention for the attack rather than blaming the terrorist for the attack. It's kind of ironic in a way because a lot of liberals will go out and say, free speech, we believe in freedom of expression, et cetera, et cetera. But then when there's an attack on freedom of expression, they come down against the freedom of expression. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy that has been shown in this last week with that regard. Now, having said that, these people putting out a cartoon conference that goes against the Prophet Muhammad and makes fun of the Prophet Muhammad, they knew what they were doing. And that is why the city officials insisted that there be a strong police presence there, because they knew that radical Muslims and even moderate Muslims consider that to be blasphemous behavior. And something that should concern us as Christians, we call this grace and truth. You know, if we had Muslim people who were doing some sort of blasphemous conference against Jesus Christ, we would have a problem with that. Now, of course, Jesus preached love and forgiveness. He didn't preach taking a gun and shooting those who would even blaspheme him. However, as believers, I think we need to be careful that we're not stirring the pot. On the one hand, I do believe in free expression. Don't get me wrong. However, we need to have wisdom. You know, the Supreme Court, the ruling on freedom of speech, the Oliver Wendell Holmes gave the example in his opinion, someone yelling fire in the midst of a crowded movie theater, and that though there is freedom of speech in this country, it also has to have responsibility. If you yell fire in a crowded movie theater when there is no fire, you're culpable for any kind of injuries or even death that happens as a result of the panic that would occur as a result of that. So in this country, while we do have freedom of expression and freedom of speech, we also have the responsibility to make sure that those things are handled properly. It is up for debate whether or not that's what took place in this conference. But needless to say, ISIS has taken responsibility. They said that the gunmen who were sent were actually trained by them. And now we have the FBI coming out and stating that they've been following this particular gunman actually for several years. FBI Director James Comey said, "We are focused keenly on who would be looking to travel to join this band of murderers who will have come back from Iraq and Syria to the United States. We have open cases all over the place focused on this threat. So it is not a Washington thing. It is something that we have focused on throughout the FBI. So the shooters in Texas on Sunday were identified as Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi, U.S. citizens who had been living in Phoenix and an investigation will seek to establish whether the suspects were indeed ISIS sympathizers and to what extent they were linked to international terrorism. But FBI reports have shown that Simpson, who was born in Dallas, was a subject of a terror inquiry for many, many years. So they knew who he was, and they were following him. And so it wasn't a surprise when this took place. Now, I think that it's important for us to recognize, as ISIS has said now, just yesterday, the Christian Post reported that ISIS is saying they have 71 trained soldiers across the United States. They mentioned specific states where they were, in Virginia, Maryland, Illinois, California, Michigan, and so forth, and that this is a real threat. But we need to see that not all Muslims believe this. And one of the people who very bravely has stood up and has spoken out against this kind of terrorist activity by radical Muslims is Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, a Muslim leader in Phoenix.
I certainly have significant disagreement with their position on Islam. However, there's no moral equivalency here. I think, you know, the blasphemy we need are the ones that are the most offensive because they're the ones that test the systems of liberal society.
This has been a gentleman who has actually received threats himself from ISIS on Twitter and so forth. And so he's been very bold to stand up and to come against these terrorist attacks, come against the concept of jihad. And so it's important for us to see that not all Muslims are radical jihadist Muslims, and we need to try and find ways to build bridges of understanding with Muslim believers who are more moderate and who do believe in peace and the rule of law.
You know, Craig, I have been in a Bible study recently looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, and you had a group of people there who were really, really focused on their rights to what they could do. And here you had Paul, who didn't live up to the rights he had as an apostle with them, but decided, I'll forego my rights, or at least not fully exercise them for the sake of something greater. And, you know, as I see a lot of even fellow Christians on Facebook posting things around Garland, Texas, or the other things that, well, it's our rights, it's our rights. Well, yeah, we have rights. That's not the issue here. What is the best way of reaching the Muslim people? And for that, we need a lot of grace.
Exactly right. The Apostle Paul, following up what you're saying there, he said, I become all things to all people, that by doing so, I might save some. So there are times when we need to step down from our own pursuit of our rights, as you said, and instead say, how can I can I die to myself in my own ways so that I can build a bridge of love and understanding in the pursuit of being a witness for Jesus Christ? So let's go ahead and go to prayer.
Definitely.
And make that a focus of our prayer today, and then also pray for the upcoming presidential election. Father, we thank you for this time that we could talk about these things, these important matters and these important issues. And Lord, we just do pray that Christians across the country would be very thoughtful about these types of things and recognize that though we may have rights, some of those rights that we would have under the strictest interpretation of the law may not work to bring about love, understanding, and peace in our communities. Help us to find a balance and not be so focused on the truth and on the law that we forget about compassion, about love, and about grace. We also pray that you give us great wisdom here in the United States of America as we are considering these candidates for the presidency, because the person that we put in front of ourselves as a leader is a reflection of who we are. And we pray that you would give us wisdom and that your will would be done in this upcoming election. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Craig, thanks again for joining us this week on Grace and Truth. We'll catch you next week.
Oh, I look forward to it. God bless you. Take care.
You know, it really is amazing how quickly the show goes every week. Just 25 minutes, and we're really just scratching the surface on a lot of issues. But that's not really the point of the show. I mean, there's lots of topics we could talk about, lots of issues that need to be prayed about. That's why Craig, along with Wendy Griffith, wrote the book, Praying the News, urging you to, when you read the newspaper, when you go and watch the news on TV, to pray the news. If you'd like to know more information about that book or any other of Craig's books or just want to hear the show again, visit our page at faithradio.com. Under programs, look for Grace and Truth. Thanks again for joining us this week. Grace and Truth has been a production of Faith Radio. On behalf of Craig Von Busick, I'm Paul Perreault, hoping you join us again next week. Until then, remember to pray the news with grace and truth.